Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
What We Spend is a new podcast that explores something we almost never talk about. Every week, you'll hear a different guest share everything they spend their money on. What We Spend is available now on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
All right, we got to pick out an adopted, undrafted free agent for Seth Payne this training camp. I don't know what our hit rate is on the undrafted free agents you've adopted making the team.
I don't think a single one has.
Really?
Yeah.
What kind of parent?
I'm a sucker. I'm like a guy with low self-esteem.
Could be
dating sevens and I'm stuck in Fourville.
Deadbeat undrafted free agent dad you are. You're a horrible parent. All right, so let's find the next undrafted free agent here that we adopt. Here was Nick Caserio with us on Wednesday this week when Seth asked him give us some advice. Give us a couple recommendations in the undrafted free agent pool.
There's a couple guys in there to have an opportunity to potentially compete for some reps. I would say Tafuna, the defensive tackle from Utah, done some decent things, 6'3", 300 pounds. Good playing style, has some toughness to him, really good kid. And the receiver from Minnesota, I know, probably be an uphill battle there, but Jackson, he had a really good career. He kind of falls into the football player category. Maybe didn't run fast relative to some others, but really productive with his opportunities. He did a good job this year and then in years past as well. So those are a couple guys.
Okay, so it's hard to get Nick to gush about anybody, any rookie.
Yeah.
Like Cade Stover's the outlier. Remember last year Cade Stover, Nick in the press conference after they drafted him talked about all the elite traits that he had and
targeted. Yeah.
Like this. So yeah. So it's interesting cuz like one out of every like 3 or 4 or 5, Nick, even just everyday like non-rookies, like you ask him about guys and he gives a very measured evaluation. Then you're asking about Danico Autry and the guy's beating people up in a back alley and he's a bad MF-er. Like it's very interesting to me sometimes when Nick goes over the moon. I like it, but he's very measured on the undrafted guys, understandably so. It is an uphill battle, especially for a receiver to make the team. Seth, before we dig into this undrafted crop, Todd McShay had a very different tune about Daniel Jackson, the receiver out of Minnesota, yesterday on his podcast.
The Houston Texans brought in undrafted free agent named Daniel Jackson, wide receiver from Minnesota. He was at the combine, okay? Quicker than fast slot, okay? Like, when you watch him, it's like, he's one of my Twitch guys. I love slot receivers. I love Twitchies. He didn't run a 40 at the combine because he's not the fastest guy in the world. But I talked about that twitch and the quickness and the body control. He ran a 4.07 short shuttle, Mitch. You know what that was at the combine? No one talked about it. No one talked about it. Second fastest of all the wide receivers. Then he went and ran the 3-cone, 6.78. It was a fourth fastest of all the wide receivers. Those are important drills.
Okay.
They are important drills.
So
especially when we were talking with Nick about Jalen Noel and his measurables and everything, and then we talked about Wes Welker and his measurables. Wes Welker ran a 4.7 40.
Right.
You wonder why Wes Welker went undrafted when it came to just top end burner speed. But when it came to, I think with Wes Welker, it was the 20-yard shuttle. He was in the 99th percentile. All that short area quickness. Yes, Daniel Jackson has those things. The big question though is, he's on a team now where like he's got classic slot receiver traits. He's smaller, but he's got really good short area quickness. He's on a team that traded for a slot receiver and then drafted a slot receiver. And where is the spot for you? And then this is the key. has limited special teams experience.
Yeah. Oh,
so,
okay.
Like,
yeah.
Yeah. His chance and his opportunity to actually make the team is going to have to be on special teams most likely. But I think totally could totally be a guy that's on the practice squad.
Yes.
Because he doesn't have all the measurables that make him a huge prospect, but he did produce in college, and he's got a certain savvy to him that you're looking for smaller, quicker guys. He's just got an understanding of the spacing and finding the soft spots in the zone and all that other stuff that coaches love to see on tape, but you got to prove that you can do it in the NFL.
He has the makings of being one of those guys at training camp, Seth, that when it comes to media watching the training camp,
oh yeah,
that after a few of the practices, we're like, huh, okay. It's Daniel Jackson.
Because he becomes Graham Mertz's go-to guy.
Yeah,
Graham Mertz just loves him. And Graham Mertz has been working out with him already before.
Yeah.
So these two develop a relationship.
Yeah.
And all of a sudden, oh, boy, that, I'll tell you what, Graham Mertz might push for a starting job this year.
Okay.
If he can just bring Daniel Jackson along with him.
That's funny.
Did you see him out there versus those other undrafted rookie defensive backs?
Right.
Oh, my gosh.
All right,
yes.
So are you sold on Daniel? I mean, Nick didn't go over the top with his sales pitch about Daniel.
Yeah.
Hey, he's got an uphill battle.
I got a couple. It's almost like when you go into a shop and you're like, you have any of this discontinued item? Like, I don't know. Let me go look around in the back here a little bit.
I might have a Daniel Jackson back here. I might.
McShay, though,
pretty good sales pitch by McShay.
He mentioned Junior Tafuna.
Yeah.
Nick did as well.
Yes, he did.
Junior Tafuna, like, this is... Okay, if you watch Junior Tafuna on film, especially if you watch his highlights, you might be like, oh my gosh, this guy's got everything I want. He uses his hands well. He's strong. Look at that. He's got a physicality to him. He's Polynesian.
He's a steal.
Oh, this is everything I want in a defensive tackle.
Polynesian.
Except he's 300 pounds. So it's when he's athletic, but not enough to, you know, be looked at as a pass rushing defensive tackle.
Right.
So he does some really good things against the run, but he's undersized.
Mm-hmm.
I almost look at him like a higher upside version of Kurt Heinisch.
Okay.
I think that he does some things really well, and he might end up only being a rotational player in his career, but he's got to figure out a way to he has to be immaculate with his technique, because when he doesn't use his hands well, he gets knocked around a little bit.
Yeah.
But there's definitely something to him.
Yeah.
Like, he's got a good feel for it, and he wasn't blessed with incredible size.
No, but that's a group that's one of the older groups on the team. You know, if you're able to hang around, like Tommy Togiai hung around last year and ended up playing in playoff games for the time, making plays too.
Right, right.
You know,
and I'm not, any of these guys, I'm not predicting that they're going to be the next Arian Foster.
No, but if they can hang around, you know?
No, and it's a classic too. One of the biggest things with rookies is just, do you know your role? Do you play your responsibilities? Do you know the playbook? Because a lot of when it comes to the rotational players, they just want guys they can trust.
Yeah.
So him versus... when he has opportunities in preseason games, maybe to go against starters on other teams or just in the padded drills during camp, that's where he's really going to just have to flash and show that by NFL standards, he's an undersized defensive tackle.
Right.
You know, he's for a guy that he looks kind of like a run stuffer. He's small for a run stuffing defensive tackle, but he can make it if he's really nails with his technique.
Yeah, it's a good point. Just so you know, 6'3", 300, small. For defensive tackles. It sounds big.
If you're not a good pass rusher.
That's right.
You know?
That's right. That's right. What about this Eli Cox?
Eli Cox is intriguing because he, and just by the way, the two guys, Eli Cox spent 6 years in college.
Okay.
So Tafuna is 24 years old. He spent 4 years in college. He's from Utah, so I'm wondering if he went on mission already. That's
okay.
Always a good fact. I love talking to these guys about their missions.
Yeah.
If he is Mormon. I don't know if he's Mormon or not.
Right, right.
But he's from Utah, and he's a 24-year-old rookie.
The Venn diagram favors him having gone on a mission, yes.
So Eli Cox spent 6 years in college and has played guard but settled in at center and is very, very, very athletic. Some of his combine drills were some of the best scores of a center in the past three decades.
Mm.
But he didn't produce like a draft prospect in the NFL.
Yeah.
So I think there's upside there with his athleticism, and you wonder how much of it was coaching, how much of it was just who knows what his injuries were or whatever. But there's definitely something there. That's a great guy to take a flyer on as an undrafted free agent. And I think he probably chose the right team to come to because that it's anybody's guess who the starters are on the interior offensive line, and especially at center. I think that's a wide open competition, and depending on which guy wins the job, I think that they might see Eli Cox on the practice squad as a guy that's got some upside to him.
Yeah, I think it's funny. Look, the three guys you just mentioned, the undrafted guys that are going to be on the grass today practicing with all the, it's Texans rookie minicamp today. You know, if I were an undrafted guy and I'm an interior offensive lineman, I would look to go to the Texans. If I were an interior defensive lineman, I think the Texans, there's no great spot for any of these guys to land. Daniel Jackson's the most interesting one just because, as Nick pointed out, it's an uphill battle to make the team. And yet, after the first four guys, after the two drafted rookies and Nico Collins and Christian Kirk, man, it's a wide open competition. Like, there's no sacred cows in any of those. You know, John Metchie's job is on the line. Xavier Hutchinson, they like, his job's on the line. The guys they brought in free agency are all 1 year, $2-3 million deal type of guys who have done things at times in the NFL, but there ain't anybody there who's gotten a big money contract where you go, well, we got to keep this guy, you know?
I'm looking at Eli Cox on his spider chart. It reminds me, if you just look at the colors, it looks a lot like a slot receiver where the all the speed drills are all pretty impressive, but then you get to the physical measurables for Eli Cox and it's, his wingspan, his arm length, his hand size, all 7th percentile, 1th percentile, 9th percentile.
Yeah.
He's got very short arms.
Yeah.
Which somehow has all become, it's almost become like a politically charged topic. Like, oh, don't you dare talk about somebody's arm length. You're an armist. Like, no.
Oh, yeah.
If you have short arms, you got to do something to make up for it. And Eli Cox, the center, struggled against size and power in college. So, you got to figure out a way to use technique and athleticism to overcome those elfin arms.
Kentucky, right? You went to Kentucky?
Yeah.
So who's it going to be? Who are you adopting? Here's the papers. Put in a name and sign at the bottom, sir.
The early running has me for Junior Tafuna.
Okay.
But we'll have to wait until we get through. Let's wait until the first week of training camp.
Okay.
I got to see these guys just actually doing actual football drills versus guys with shoulder pads.
The orphanage of undrafted free agents, like looking at their watch with Seth, like, are you going to pick somebody here already? Are you going to pick?
Yeah, no. Listen, I'm a man of means. Yeah. I just take my time.
Yeah.
And until I'll adopt you when it's politically advantageous for me to adopt you.
The answer can be, I don't adopt anybody. How do you like that,
right,
orphanage?
Right.
All right.
Yeah.
Yeah. Stop being so impatient. this is a follow-up to the Mel Kiper being mad about Shedeur Sanders not being named the Pope. The Vatican talked. The Cardinals don't know how to evaluate a Pope. We do. Oh, I can't wait to play that audio at the top of the hour.
So this new Pope, he's from Chicago?
Yes. He went to Villanova, I believe.
Is he a sports fan?
He's been spotted
White Sox or Cubs?
White Sox.
He's a White Sox fan.
Yeah, okay. He's a White Sox fan. So he tries to help support the poor, White Sox in Chicago, they're the poor, compared to the Cubs in their Wrigley Field with their big full bleachers and whatnot.
Mm-hmm.
He went to Villanova. That was a big topic on my timeline yesterday because along the lines of, along the lines of the Mel Kiper and the sports angle to the Pope is like, how did Notre Dame let a Chicago kid slip away back during the evaluation period?
Yeah.
How did they let a future Pope slip away?
What do they do when they have conversations with all the, because they're all from different nations and everything? Do they speak in Latin still? Do they have to know Latin to be a Pope?
He spoke in Italian and then in one other language, and I can't remember what it was. I don't know.
Do they speak Italian like when over there in Popeville when all the bishops are meeting with the Pope and everything?
It's a good question. Somebody
tell us.
Intimate
I'm not
Pope
gonna Google it.
Yeah, intimate Pope knowledge. If you've got it, send it to us. 713-572-4610. Okay, I got to check during the break and see if this is true. Bill Belichick's girlfriend got banned from the UNC football facility. LOL. I need to check. That may not be true. It's a text. But I'm going to check this during the break, which would be a major development.
Looks like Italian is the official language of the Vatican.
There
makes sense, I guess.
Yeah.
I don't know. Everything's so different around all that. I didn't want to just assume it was Italian.
Yep. All right. Payne and Pendergast with you. Top of the hour. Take a mania for sure. We will have that. Up next, NFL team is doing something for minicamp that I pray the Texans do someday. We will tell you what it is coming up next.